Hi, this is Adam Onslaught. Join me every Friday at 8 p.m. for my very own Global Onslaught. We take a look at the current movers and shakers from around the planet and a look back at those artists that defined a generation. So that's Friday, 8 p.m, the Global Onslaught. Only on MMH, the home of rock radio.
MMH, the home of rock radio.
Today's guest on the Global Onslaught has been creating musical soundscapes and capturing our imagination since the tender age of 13, nearly six decades ago now. Jan has varied and colourful career to date, playing with some of the world's greatest artists, including Jack Bruce, Phil Collins, B.B. King and Ice-T, just to name a few. And in 1973, he was voted best guitarist in the world by the readers of UK magazine Melody Maker. Five decades on, Jan is still making music and entertaining his fans worldwide. His latest album, Close Beauty, is available from October the 25th and available on two gold LP records, as well as CD and digital. We welcome Jan to the MMH, the home of rock radio. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Good buddy, every morning. Yes, thank you.
Good morning to you. First, congratulations ahead of the release of the new album, Close Beauty. It's a stunningly produced masterpiece, I have to say. In your own words, can you tell us a little bit about the new album? You say it was inspired by the notion, when you're too close to an object, you cannot see the real value. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, of course. But, I mean, what do you want me to say, you know, like, you want to talk about the thing in January?
Let's talk about
the idea. Okay. Well, the idea, like the title suggests that if you're too close to an object, you don't see the value, the real value of it. So, in other words, if you're standing 1 inch from a cow, you don't see it's a cow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything in life is that way, I guess. You know, you have to take a distance in order to see the real value of things. And that's the thought behind the album. And because the album is really diverse in songs, not my guitar style. My style doesn't change. But I like to believe that when I change the background of things, that makes it more versatile and more one thing, like it's a kind of diversity, unity and diversity. Yeah, that's it.
It's a beautiful, beautiful notion.
Did I say that?
You did. You said that, definitely. Where was it recorded and how long have you been working on the album?
Well, this album took me a long... Let's put it this way. All things like all the titles I made years and years ago, because it's not a process of an instant thing.
No.
Not for me. It's not instant composing, which extends sometimes for... doesn't matter. But anyway, it's been a process of years, like to getting together all the pieces so they fit together was the hardest. You know, I like different directions, different directions.
It's certainly an album of direction, different directions, that is for sure.
Mm-hmm. And yes, and, I have some compositions already finished, and some things came spontaneously. That's the only thing that's maybe instant composing is the first song, Spiritual Privacy. It's done on an acoustic Django Reinhardt acoustic guitar, like a gypsy guitar,
mm-hmm.
which some company made for me, and I like the sound of it and do some different scales. And the background is a sequencer with the kind of Spanish castanet type of sounds. That's the nice thing with computers, you can make it sound whatever you want. That's the nice thing. And just improvise that part. Just the band, took the band in the studio, and that was it. Sit down and play. And the second song I had ready for another 2 or 3 years almost. And the third song I've been working on like crazy for 5, 6 years, maybe even longer. And that goes also for the fourth song, mm-hmm. Close Beauty. Took a long time to get that one together, to make it sound logic and understandable for everyone, but still not too simple.
No. And how did you choose the artist to play on the album? Have these guys been with you for a long time, or did you pick some new people?
What do you mean? The
other artists on the album, the musicians that play with you.
Oh, I've played with them for years. I've been touring the UK like a couple of years ago, maybe even 10 years ago. And Korn, my keyboard player, I made him the producer because he's a fantastic fella and a fantastic musician. He even tours with his own band, Tristan, to the UK. And David, he joined us like 5-6 years ago. And my name was 10-12 years ago. And David, they're both teachers. David is teaching the high school of... the High School of Art, and Koen is teaching at the conservatory in Harvard in Holland. And Marijn is just hanging around enjoying himself. Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. I have to say, the solo work that you've provided on this album is stunning, to say the least. In particular, your retake on Mozart's classic Don Giovanni, and you've just released a video for that. What made you want to tackle such a intricate and wonderful piece of music on this new album?
Don Giovanni, you know, it actually occurred like a friend of mine just sit down and said, "Hey, man, your name in Italian is Giovanni. They call me Giovanni at home." Instead of, yeah. And since I'm a knight or a sir, why not, you know, call it Don Giovanni? But there's another angle to the story. Like, once I was in Brazil, did a tour with a piano player, Mike Delfetto. And he plays all kinds of classical stuff, but then in a modern way, modern inserts, modern jazzy type of thing. And then his bass player said to me, "Hey, man, you're a lady killer." I said, "Oh, yeah, really? Yeah, man, you're the Don. You're the lady killer." I said, "Well, once I'm out of a relationship, they tried to kill me. It's reverse." The whole title Don Giovanni has another twist to it as well.
It's got a little bit of an in sort of humour sort of towards yourself.
Couldn't hurt.
The way I describe this album for the listeners, that it's joyful. It's a joyful experience to listen to. Would you agree? And when you write, how important is it to you that your music continues to bring a sense of joy and colour to the listener?
Very important. Very, very important. Because, you know, as you grow older, you understand, start to grasp or sort of understanding what somebody's real drive is, you know, in, especially guitar players. It's in the first place, they're all autistic. That's one. And I'm one of them. And this kind of, how would they call it? Like this self-praise, you know, that boo. I don't have that. I just want to enjoy the music myself in the first place.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, not a bad way to start off. It's you know, enjoy to be together with people making music. The joy of making music. And it's not only the industrial age, you know, you have to produce this and you have to produce that or whatever. It's thank God I don't have that. It's just make the music for the joy of it, for the fun.
Mm-hmm.
But you can luxury. Not many people can afford that, yeah.
No, not at all.
No, it's not a stupid remark.
Let's talk about the album's artwork, its actual visual artwork for a moment. Michael Cheval is famous for his surrealist visionary art and his recent work with Uriah Heep keyboardist. How long have you been a fan of his work, and what drew you towards Michael for the album sleeve?
I was just following the internet and trying to look up. I like painters. For some reason, I love painting.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Holland has also a long tradition of painting, just like Britain, like Dunstall, all the great ones.
Sure.
And it's particularly like Vermeer's paintings, you know, the milkmaid. It's not actually what he painted, but the aura around it, what is not been painted. He leaves that open. That's what I like. And that's also what I like for Michael. He is technically perfect. And that's one thing I like about paintings, you know. All this stuff, like the beginning of this year, I went to the Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao.
Yeah.
Just hanging out for a couple of days. And I can imagine that Dalí once looked at a modern painting, you know, like one in the clever, man. And he said, I'm afraid that's modern. And I understand what he means. And that's what I like about Michael. It's technically perfect. And it's kind of absolutistic, realistic.
Okay.
So it's my music, perfect.
So it kind of sits with the music, just in your mind. It's a pictorial sort of representation of what your album is all about, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. And what I like about Michael, if you look at the output, this guy hasn't been lazy either. Incredible, but kind of, you know, all the illustrations, all the things in his mind. It's really something else. Written something.
Let's talk about touring. Now, you began touring with the new album. Takes you on dates into the beginning of next year. How have your fans received the new material so far? And are you enjoying playing the tracks from the new album on your current tour?
Excuse me, I didn't quite get the questions.
So,
what did you say?
You've begun to tour with this new album, so you're out on the road doing live performances. How have your fans received the new material so far? Are they enjoying it? Are you enjoying playing the tracks from the new album yourself, live?
Of course, I wouldn't have made it. It's simple as that. But on the other hand, you know, like we did a couple of shows now and people are really, you know, packed. People love it. And that's exactly the meaning of it. Mm-hmm. They say, yeah, thank you. It was very, very, very nice. I said, yes, that's exactly the meaning. I just want to enjoy the playing and I want you to enjoy it. It's simple as that.
Well, we certainly have enjoyed it. And thank you so much, Jan, for your music and your influence on other artists from around the world and influences on the listener like myself. Just want to say thank you very much for joining us today on MMH, the home of rock radio. It's been an honor and a privilege to speak to you.
Okay, thank you, Gary.
Thank you very, very much, sir. Thank you.
MMH, the home of rock radio.